This is Tom Rowe, and you're listening to the WGXC News, a weekly roundup of reports, interviews, and field recordings that local WGXC volunteers made and contributed to WGXC in the past week. The Occupy movement saw a crackdown from authorities this week, and that began last Saturday night with Occupy Albany and arrests there. Protesters were arrested if they were in the state park after the 11 p.m. curfew, but not if they were in the city park next door in Albany. And WGXC's Kieran Riley was there when the trouble began.
And they've got megaphones happening. Let's see if we can record what's going on with the megaphone.
New York State Police.
John Kambaleski of the New York State Police.
You are not legally permitted to remain in the park any longer.
We are not legally permitted to remain in the park any longer.
You will be violating the New York State penal law. You will be subject to arrest and removal.
Mike, sir. Can you repeat that, please, sir?
Can you turn up the megaphone, please, sir?
The 99% police.
Alex Bundy and Zach Wilson of Catskill High School's media program provided their weekly coverage of the Patroon Conference and Catskill High School sports.
Hi, this is Alex Bundy.
And this is Zach Bosberg.
And welcome to this week's CSPN report.
So, Alex, the Catskill boys cross country team repeated Harvest Classic champions again.
Did they really?
Yeah, they successfully defended their title at Lansingburg and Knickerbocker Park.
Wait, what are we talking about? We were actually there.
It was a good race. Seth Bielich won, I'm pretty sure.
I almost forgot we were there. Seth just blows by everybody and entirely forget that you were even there. You're just like, wow, he was great!
I know. Speaking of Seth, he placed second at the Class C sectional race at Saratoga State Park.
I know, I was so proud of him when he did, but I feel so sad for Corey Tate. He just missed it. Just missed it.
It's gotta be heartbreaking. But Seth will be competing at state meet Saturday, November 12th in Verona.
I heard that we also played 6 out of 23 teams that day.
It's pretty good.
That's not bad at all.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I would too.
In other Patroon Conference news, the Maple Hill boys varsity soccer team won another sectional title.
They've won a lot of times this year. Didn't they win like 19 in the last 24
years? Yeah, that's right. They've won 19 Class C championships in the last 24 years.
Wow. That's just crazy.
I know. In girls soccer, Alexandra Ben-Aukin of Greenville won league MVP, while Jacqueline Hall of Hudson won MVK, which is the most valuable keeper.
I was about to say, what does that mean?
Well, Alex, you gotta know what you're talking about here.
I know, but you never know with soccer what these MV things are.
This is true. Soccer is a very confusing sport. But our own Catskills, Kelly Meyer and Lauren Consell, were both named to the second team Patroon Conference All-Star team as well.
Oh, wow. I heard they finished 6 out of 8 teams that day. That's not bad at all.
Not a bad finish at all, because looking at how they finished very badly at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they did not have the greatest season this year at all.
Not in any means.
Hopefully one of these years they'll end up on that banner in that gym.
We can only hope, Alex. On November 30th, we will start streaming. The first stream will be the boys' varsity basketball team, who will open their season against Greenville.
Start time's at 7 p.m., so hopefully everybody will be there.
Be sure to log on to CatskillCSD.org to check it out. Yep. I'll be doing play-by-play while my friend Alex here will be on the switcher for all live streams all season.
Yeah, you better be watching out there, people. Got to have some good games coming right to you.
I know, man. Such a tragedy this week. Legendary boxer Joe Frazier passed away after a month-long battle with cancer.
I know, I heard about that. I was so sad, actually. It's just heartbreaking to hear that.
Smokin' Joe was most notably for his famous beating, being the first person to ever beat Muhammad Ali.
I guess he stung like a bee.
Well, this has been Zach Bosberg.
And Alex Bundy.
With your CSPN report. Be sure to tune in next time.
Time for us now to check the very incomplete calendar here on WGXC 90.7 FM Hands-On Community Radio for Columbia and Greene Counties. Checking the calendar for the 19th through the 27th. Well, let's start off on the 19th. Some form of gypsies at the Cooperstown Farmers Market, located next to Doubleday Field in Cooperstown. Market runs from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Music starts about midway through. Let's see, Jericho Arts Council presents Remington Ride at the Bainbridge Town Hall Theater at 8 p.m. Michael Eck and Rob Skain at the Inquiring Mind Bookstore and Cafe in Saugerties at 7 p.m. More for the 19th, Hip Hop Remixed at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson at 3 p.m., taught by Loki Anthony and the Hudson Hip Hop Chop Shop. El Rancho Deluxo at Cafe Mezzaluna in Saugerties at 7 p.m., Ron Renninger at Taste Buds and Red Hook at 1 o'clock. Roy Bookbinder at Cafe Lena's in Saratoga Springs at 8 p.m. Dana LaCroix at the Oneonta Theater at 8 p.m. Bill Staines at 6 on the Square in Oxford at 7:30. Chris Pierka at the Barge Canal Coffee House in Hamilton at 8 p.m. The 8th Step on the 19th presents Red Molly at Proctor's, well, underneath Proctor's Theater in Schenectady at 7:30. Opener, Pat Wichter. Also, the Chandler Travis Philharmonic at the Linda in Albany at 8 p.m. Music on the Delaware presents Pat Cannon's Foot and Fiddle Dance Company at the Walton Theater at 7:30. And our final note for the 19th, Hudson Valley Folk Guild presents Kevin and Carol Becker with Rich Keys at the Unitarian Fellowship Hall in Poughkeepsie at 7:30. On to the 20th, Heritage Folk Music presents a benefit, Hoot for Hurricane Help, at St. James Methodist Church in Kingston at 2 p.m. Music by Tom Chapin, Roy Bookbinder, Priscilla Herdman, and Max Cohen. Proceeds will be split evenly between the Mark Project in Delaware County, the Community Action of Greene County in Greene County, Family of Woodstock in Ulster County, and Town of Middleburg in Schoharie County. Another benefit for the 20th, the first Ava Birthday Bash fundraiser at the Andy's Hotel in Andy's at 2 p.m. Proceeds going to Cat for Kids, an organization that provides arts and recreational opportunities for children with special needs in Delaware County. Music by the Blues Maneuver Band. Mustard's Retreat stops by the radio show on Sunday, Bound for Glory, at the Annabelle Taylor Hall on the campus of Cornell University in Ithaca. Tune it in at WVBR.com at 8 p.m. Skidmore Small Jazz Ensembles at Cafe Lena's in Saratoga Springs at 7 p.m. Music on the Delaware presents their Coffee House series upstairs at the Walton Theater with a dual One Slick unit at 6 p.m. Kirsten Dehan plays brunch at Cafe Mezzaluna at Saugerties at 11 a.m. Joe Tobin at Taste Buds and Red Hook at 1 p.m. And Saugerties Pro Musica presents Michael Burham at the Saugerties United Methodist Church at 3 p.m. On to the 21st, Monday. Drum class at Old Songs in Voorheesville at 7 p.m. Music and Movement for Families with Abby Lappin at the Hudson Opera House at 10 a.m. On to Tuesday, the 22nd, Julia's Open Mic at the Oneonta Theater. Sign-ups at 7:30, music at 8 p.m. Also, there's an open mic at the Inquiring Mind Bookstore and Cafe in Saugerties at 7 p.m. On to the 23rd, and we have to restart the very incomplete calendar theme, Cherry Valley Waltz by Tom Wadsworth, as the Aussie Bush Band jam at Old Songs in Voorheesville at 7:30. John Scarpula Band, along with Stevie Tombstone at the Oneonta Theater at 8 p.m., and Carry the Tradition at Cafe Lena's in Saratoga Springs at 7 p.m. We jump over Thanksgiving to land on Friday the 25th, George Kilby Jr. and Barbecue Bob at the Cantor Schoolhouse in Stamford at 7 p.m. Woods Tea Company at Cafe Lena's in Saratoga Springs at 8 p.m. Escape from Reality, along with Syndicate at the Oneonta Theater at 9 p.m. and Fred Gillen Jr. at the Peekskill Coffee House in Peekskill at 8 p.m. On to the 26th, Kaylin Rock, heard her earlier this hour. She's at Taste Buds in Red Hook at 1 o'clock on the 26th. Also on the 26th, Denise Jordan Finley and Dan Pegdun at the Inquiring Mind Bookstore and Cafe in Saugerties at 7 p.m. Tony Brower Band at the Cooperstown Farmers Market, located next to Doubleday Field in Cooperstown. Market runs from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Music starts about midway through. Live at the library, that's the Woodstock Public Library, Jude Roberts, Greg Dinger, Dave Kearney, Kimberly, starting up at 7 p.m. Also on the 26th, Bruce and Jean Hildebrand at Cafe Mezzaluna in Saugerties at 7 p.m. and Anne Mahedonis at Cafe Lena's in Saratoga Springs at 7 p.m. On to the 27th, you have Grass-Fed Bluegrass at Taste Buds and Red Hook at 1 o'clock. Jules and Rick play brunch at Cafe Mezzaluna in Saugerties at 11 a.m. and Susan Kane at the Peekskill Coffee House in Peekskill at 1 p.m. And one more final note for the 27th, Joe Crookston at 6 on the Square in Oxford at 2 p.m. That's a check of the very incomplete calendar here on WGXC 90.7 FM, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
That was Terry Doyle's weekly roundup of Hudson Valley musical events from his imprint show Friday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGXC. Next, we'll hear from WGXC town recorder Ann Hurst and the recording she made of the Caro School Board meeting Thursday, November 17th at Caro Elementary School, where talk again turned to turning Durham Elementary into a charter school.
This letter states the board's support of the charter efforts, correct?
Exactly.
And you need this to put the application in, or it's a good thing to have when you put the application in?
Yes, it's a good thing to have with the application.
Okay. All right, Barb's going to read a letter that the board was sent, because they asked him to draft the letter you would like us to sign. So Barb will read it. This is what the board is looking at.
Dear Blank, a steering committee comprised of members of the character of school community, teachers, support staff, parents, and community members has been formed and is actively researching the academic and financial viability of creating a charter school under the applicable provisions of the education law. The Board of Education of the Caro Durham Central School District is fully aware of this effort, and members of the board are regularly attending and participating in meetings of the steering committee. The purpose of this letter is to affirm that the efforts of the steering committee to explore the possibility of creating a charter school has the support of the Board of Education. Naturally, the board fully reserves its right to withdraw its support of any such application if it fails to meet the requirements of the education law and or it is deemed to be not in the best interests of the residents of the Caro Durham Central School District. However, the board supports the necessary preliminary work being done by the committee to explore the feasibility of such an application. We also fully expect that this application to create a charter school will necessarily involve the leasing of property within the school district. This aspect is anticipated and will pose no bar to a successful application. Any matters or questions regarding the work of the steering committee can be addressed to Dr. Thomas Baumgartner. Dr. Baumgartner is presently the principal of the Durham Elementary School and chair of the steering committee examining the creation of a charter school. Any questions to the school district can be addressed to Dr. Sally Sharkey, superintendent of schools.
We approve the letter and
send it. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Finally, WGXC programmer Mark Reed got quite a bit of attention Thursday night when he organized a giant projection on the Verizon building in Manhattan during a massive Occupy Wall Street protest on the Brooklyn Bridge. A few hours before he was on the Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC, he was on the WGXC afternoon show with Sarah Kendall and Jack Ross Pilkington telling his story.
Across the Brooklyn Bridge, lots of people carrying LED candles and chanting, and we walked by the Verizon building, a huge kind of windowless building, to see these giant projections that were on the building. The artist that was responsible for these huge projections, they've been called the bat signal?
Yes, the bat signal of the 99% or Occupy Wall Street. Yeah. Because in Batman apparently has this projection that shows his logo and it shows when he's out and about. I don't know much about it, but
so there was this sort of the bat signal of the 99% on the Verizon building visible from the Brooklyn Bridge where people were walking. And Mark Reed, we've got Mark Reed on the line who was behind the projections. Mark, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Mark. Mark is a WGXE programmer. He's the host of the monthly show To Be Determined, which airs on the second Sunday of every month from 6 to 8 p.m.
Along with yourself, Sarah Kendall.
Along with me. We're co-hosts. So Mark is a regular contributor to 90.7 FM, but this was the Bat Signal project was a little bit different. So since we're on the radio and it's a listening medium, could you describe what the project was? Could you describe what the piece was for people who didn't see it?
Sure. Well, it's really interesting for a whole lot of reasons, but you know we wanted to have some kind of unifying, galvanizing spectacle to kind of end this day of intense action. Some of it very forceful and resolute down in the financial district in the morning. There were a lot of arrests and a lot of clashes with the police, and we didn't want that to be the only news story that got out there about the day. We also kind of wanted to close the day with, like I said, a kind of festival of light was the way we were thinking about it. And, you know, because 2 months of, for 2 months, Occupy movements, or the Occupy movement, has been shining a light on the problems in the society, in political and economic system. So we wanted to kind of literally shine a light. And here we have this opportunity. We were going to cross the Brooklyn Bridge, and here's this giant corporate monolith, you know. It's a windowless expanse about 75 feet wide and very low ambient light, the kind of ideal projection screen if you can get into a building and project from it. So in the shadow of this corporate monolith are a bunch of city housing, a bunch of, what people sometimes refer to as projects, working class, which means working poor these days. They pretty much are the same thing. So working people in the shadow of this corporate monolith right next to the Brooklyn Bridge, looks like we got to throw a bat signal up on that building. So that's what we did. It's like I said, it's about a 75-foot wide expanse, the building itself, and it goes up, I don't know how many stories, like 40 or 50 stories. We were projecting probably about to the 20th story. The building that we were in was about 17 stories tall, and we were in the 16th-story window of a bedroom window of Denise Vega, who is a FedEx worker, single mother of three, was born and raised in those houses. And she initially responded to a sign that I put up, offering $250 to rent someone's apartment for an art project for a few hours on Thursday, which wasn't entirely dishonest, of course. But I got a few calls, and none of them really seemed to be making any sense, and I was kind of going to figure I was going to start stalking the building or something ridiculous. And I wound up getting a call from Denise, and she was, lucid and clear. And I was like, okay, well, it didn't actually sound in her description like her windows were on the side of the building that we needed them to be on. But she was the first most together person I'd spoken with, and she was on the 16th floor. So I figured I'd go over there and meet her, and maybe she'd introduce me to her neighbors. But her bedroom window faced right there. It was, 130 feet away. And I paced it off. It's about 130, 135 feet away from the building. And, called some people I knew after meeting with her, and she was down for it. And I explained to her what we were doing, and she was, incredibly enthused. I mean, she had been following the news and knew all about Occupy Wall Street and the 99%, and identified clearly with that, and so her last words to me as I left that day were, "Let's do this thing," in this sort of conspiratorial tone, which was really heartening. And then the sort of other things happened, like the occupation got evicted, as we all know, on Tuesday in the wee hours, late night, basically. So, are you guys still there?
Yeah. We're captivated.
In the wake of that eviction, it was a crazy day that day on Tuesday, and I was sort of running the city going with anybody else. And I was trying to get Denise her money, and I was having a hard time meeting up with the finance committee because everything was in such disarray. The General Assembly, the Occupy Wall Street's finance committee, finance working group. So I was trying to do all that, and then I finally got on the phone with Denise around 9 o'clock, and she said, I can't take any money for this. This is for the people. I can't take any money for that. So that just kind of you know, really, just really kind of blew me away, particularly on that day, I guess. You know, it was like in the wake of that kind of an awful day in a lot of ways. So we, you know, loaded in at about 4 o'clock in Brooklyn and you know, had to wade through all that traffic and got it all set up within 20 minutes in sort of this crazy jerry-rigged, like, system where the for tape and a broomstick and a post office box and like just sort of leaned it up and out this tiny, sort of kind of a small window, and tested it a couple times and it looked perfect and it was really bright. It's a 12,000 lumen projection. I mean, it's about as bright as a projection can be. And people were, I mean, I've gotten reports that people were on the Brooklyn Promenade, and it's just in Brooklyn Heights. It's a very long distance from where we're projecting, and that they could see it from there.
And so you had tested the...
You could see it clear as day from Brooklyn Bridge Park on the other side of the East River. And there's a, you know, the story is, you know, it's kind of gone viral. I mean, there's a lot of just helicopter footage that's been sort of blasted around YouTube. And, yeah, I don't know what more to say. It was just pretty amazing. And, you know, Denise Vega and her family were all there. Like, her sisters were there and her daughters were there, and they were just cheering us on. And, you know, the cops were... We had another projection team on a roof, on an adjacent roof. They were going to do even more projections above us, but they were on a roof with a generator, and they were actually chased off the roof by the police for trespassing, and the police were below us in the building. They were pointing up at our window. They clearly knew we were there, and they knew where we were, and they couldn't come in because we were in a private residence, and still we were like... You know, it was feeling like we were surrounded by sharks, you know, where there's a sense that, you know, there's sharks circling around the building, and, you know, what do we do if they knock on the door? And Denise and her sisters were awesome. They were like, yeah, if they come at the door, we're just going to tell them we don't know what they're talking about. We're not going to let them in. They need a warrant to come in.
Is there, Mark?
Super brave and you know, fully with us, you know, really. I think that was by far the coolest thing about it for me. And also, you know, hearing the crowd, I had this idea that people would mic check, you know, they would actually respond and interact with the words that were being projected. Didn't know if that would happen for sure, though. So we made like a little loop that have "We are the 99%," and we like made it to the cadence of that chant. We, you know, are 99%. You know, like we did the visual to that rhythm. And people started chanting along to it, and once they did that, I knew we kind of had them. So we did a mic check, and we got them all to say a statement that I'd written the night before, and I don't know. It just kind of went on and on for an hour, and then we packed up and rolled away with no problems.
So we've got a couple of questions here, Mark.
What about the words you projected, like... look around the world. You are a part of a global uprising. What do those kind of like represent? What's behind those words?
Well, we are part of a global uprising. Mm-hmm. we've all noticed that, I'm sure. It's just astonishing that, you know, there are occupations. When we went to actually, one of the things we did too, one of the things we projected, we had the word Occupy, and then underneath it started with Wall Street, and then Oakland, and then Detroit, then Boston. We had, I don't know how many cities eventually, and it sped up, and it got faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and faster, and then it went Earth. And it was really cool. That was not my idea. That was this guy, Max Nova. That was his, he's the one who did all the graphics at work. And we kind of collaborated the night before on Wednesday night. We did that. And when we looked for cities, we went to look for cities to put on there, and we went to occupytogether.net, and we know both of us, and we're like, oh my God, it really is everywhere. It's like, really, it really is everywhere. It's not even like a metaphor. I mean, it's like every town in America. It's everywhere. And so we are part of a global uprising. I feel that very clearly. And I think we are a cry from the heart of war. I mean, I think we're facing a kind of, we're facing these crises now, political crises, economic crises, and environmental crises that, you know, feel cataclysmic, or, you know, the scale of them is just feels at times immense, you know, the scale of the crisis that we face, and our so-called leaders are doing nothing of the scale that needs to be done to address these crises, and humanity is rising up as this voice to to demand that we actually address these crises democratically, you know, which isn't what we have been doing. We don't have a democracy, and we haven't had one maybe ever. And people want it, you know, and they're hungry for it, and hungry to, I think, address the solution, you know, to address these problems with real solutions, real radical solutions, like real transformative change. And that's just incredibly optimistic.
Mark, do you know if what you were doing was illegal, or is it actually okay and legal to project on the side of the
road? It's legal to do that. It's not this like arcane broadcasting rules where we can't advertise on another person's property. They could have given us, I think, some kind of ticket. They could have given us a ticket. In fact, we had some co-collaborators down at the foot of the bridge that were projecting 99% into, like, City Hall, and they were doing these other projections. They were originally supposed to actually be on the bridge, projecting onto the architecture of the bridge, but they didn't get onto the bridge. So they were doing it onto City Hall, which was cool, actually. But they got ticketed. They got fines, which I'm sure Occupy Wall Street will pay. We can back them up on that. But so there is some gray area as to the legality, but the police didn't bother us one bit.
Another thing, I heard you are going on the Rachel Maddow show tonight.
Yeah, I am. I'm basically going to tell her what I just told you, I guess. I was hoping that Denise Vega would be able to come on this, but she's down in Atlantic City. She's having a party down in Atlantic City.